From Knockadoon to Ardmore, so much to do and see. Welcome back to this little mini-series about the ecclesiastical foundations from our area. I'd like to welcome back again Michael Brooke this week. Again, Michael Brooks this week, our local historian there. And indeed, again, as I said, the title befits the series, so much to do and so much to see, Michael. You're welcome back,
Thanks
Michael.
Very much, Noel. Good morning to everybody.
Michael, again, last week, if you remember, we touched on, as we were touching on a place that's near and dear to our hearts, just here ourselves, South Abbey, the Franciscan Friary, South Abbey. Do we miss anything?
Well, the only thing we'll say was the actual Franciscan Friary. I was always kind of wondering exactly where it was. Was the presentation convent built on it or whatever? And then I found out afterwards. So it's good to bring this back into it as well.
Yes.
And it was actually written by Samuel Hayman, because if anybody knows, all the history books going back in the 1800s was written by Reverend Samuel Hayman. And he did a fantastic job, in fairness to him. But what he wrote in 1855, and I'll read it out exactly what he wrote, because what it says was, because remember the last show last week, Noel, we brought in the Chapel of Ease next door.
That's right.
And then the Avonmore Guest House, which was the Magdalen. And we're here kind of in the presentation side of things here in the Nagel House as well. But what he says was, from the direction and course of the existing streets and lanes, we may fix an exact site of the old friary, which appears to have been much the same that now occupied the Chapel of Ease and the Magdalen Asylum. So that's the Avonmore Guest House. Two lanes opposite the chapel leading to the water were probably the ancient passages for the friaries, to the sea. So that would have been Pax's Lane, which is across the road.
Pax's Lane.
And probably Gowns, we'll say Dr. Gowns Lane, going down to Dr. Gowns' house, would have been the second lane.
Would have been the second lane. So the Franciscan Friary, so would the biggest...
Waterfront. It would have been a waterfront property.
Yeah, it would have been a waterfront property. But as well as that, an awful lot of, including myself, because I always got the impression that the Franciscan Friary was on the site of the limestone.
I would have thought so too.
I would have thought there.
Yeah,
but it's not. It was way over farther here.
This is only based on, if you think of it, Friar Street is, so that means if they're right.
The Street of the Friars.
Yeah, so, and like the square there was looking straight down. If you were coming up Friar Street, you're looking at the Friary. Then, so I would have thought the same thing as yourself as well, Noel, to be honest with you. No, this is just Samuel Hayman's, but he seems to have done a bit of work into this as well. It was quite good. It's just
so the exact site would have been,
I reckon it was just here.
It was over towards back to Sheehan's garage, around there. Your own place,
the Avonmore
Guest House, and the Chapel of Ease. My goodness.
So that's what he written down. Without somebody else coming up and saying, it wasn't there, it was bit of Water Alley Hotel or something.
Yeah.
We don't know, the way. But you would have to believe him, because he's after doing a fair amount of work for history wise. He did a lot of work into it anyway, so as well. Another thing, actually, just Noel, as we'd say a couple of programs back, we were talking about the lighthouse and we were talking about St. Anne's, because we're doing kind of the religious sites around the area. And we were kind of mentioning we've no marker at all for where St. Anne's. We reckon the convent,
away from
the lighthouse itself, up in the hill.
Yeah.
And that gives St. Anne's rise, we'll say, up by your own place there, Noel. But one of the paintings, we'll say, again, this is now is from Yall Historical Towns and Atlas by David Kelly and Tyge O'Keefe. There's loads of little paintings in it. And there's a painting there again by, we mentioned it the last week, was Peter Burke, and it was done in 1730. But you can nearly make out the convent. If you're looking at the painting, you can see where the lighthouse is, and you can see the convent above it. You know the way I'm having to take photographs, expanding it, and it looks like a church. You know the way?
Yes.
So, and I reckon this has to be it then at that stage.
These paintings, though, would be based on woodcuts, I would imagine, would they?
I'm not sure. We'll say the one that I'm looking at now, because I have it in my hand here, it looks like an oil one, but the second one looks like a woodcut.
Yes.
But you can definitely see the lighthouse tower, the round tower, the St. Anne's tower side of it. So it wouldn't be the lighthouse that we know today.
If it was painted in 1730.
Yeah. So the lighthouse 1852 was the new lighthouse.
Was the new,
so the old lighthouse.
It's quite possible that it was painted actually from vision, so.
Oh, yeah, 100%. If he's taken this from the, because this looked like it was taken from Mona Tray, was drawn,
yes,
or painted
it looks
from,
like, yeah, Mona, from Mona Tray.
So it gives the whole town, but it gives the corner, we'll say, where the lighthouse is as well. So, and just to go back, I suppose, if somebody didn't hear that bit, we were saying about St. Anne's lighthouse, we'll say, and the convent. It was founded in around 1190 by Maurice Fitzgerald, and run by the nuns of St. Anne's up to about 1542, and then the dissolution again of the monasteries.
Of the monasteries, and that was the end of it, yeah.
As well. But again, we think that it went on a bit, you know, somebody else must have taken over as well, because it was such an important town.
Yes,
they had to.
It was quite possible.
Yeah, they had to keep it going a bit. Mm. So we're kind of still here in South Abbey at the moment. And we are actually literally here in South Abbey.
We are.
It was.
We are dwelling in it a bit, because there's so, as I said, there's so much huge amount of history.
Yeah, in South Abbey, it's just huge amount.
And I do remember because going back about maybe what 40 years ago, you could say, really, we'd done a series of programmes with the late Bobby Chappell.
Okay, yeah.
And he made out that around the Devonshire Arms Hotel, a long, long time ago, that area was known as Hell.
That's right, you're dead right.
You know, and
welcome to Hell.
Welcome to Hell.
And that was in the Devonshire Arms Hotel. They had a kind of a sign up and everything like that, welcome to Hell.
And the reason it was called Hell was the streets. Well, the Devonshire Arms, there was probably a building there, probably buildings across the road. But in the meantime, across the road, there was a whole pile of tiny little huckster shops and shoemaker shops and everything. And apparently, once you went in there, it was like a maze. You couldn't get out. You know?
But it was, if you look at the old, and even a good friend of mine, John Goggin, and Marie up there and Mary Street.
Yes.
And it's just to go up to Devonshire Arms Lane, cross over.
Yes.
Their house is there. But if you look in the old maps, there's about 10 cottages just in, as I call it, John Goggin's Lane there, Mary Street there, Lane. Now there's one or two, you know the way that's.
But it's the same as Wymer Lane.
That's Wymer right. Lane, yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Again, you know, the area just as you turn up, we'd say, from the, South Main Street. Up the start of Wymer Lane there, the start of the house at the back of the old spinning wheel. There was a pile, because I do remember, and I'm sure you do too, is I remember a small little pile of pokey little houses there all over the place.
But there's even photographs there, you can see it there, taken kind of early 1900s in Yall. Yes. They were very good. I'd say it's the Horgans.
Yeah.
But it just looked like, how the hell do I get out of this place?
It
was buildings everywhere, you know what I mean? It didn't seem to, you know, if you wanted something, you just built it and that was it. But we're kind of leaving now from the last week. Now we spent a lot of time down in South Abbey, and if we come around the corner, we'll say past the Dev.
Yes.
We come to the Methodist church there, we'll say the little red brick.
Yes. What is, so many people have asked actually the history of that. It's a kind of a building. Look, it's there. Everyone grew up with it. It's a very imposing building.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a wonderful building, lovely building, very brilliant architecture there. The history.
Well, it's not a very old building. But what it was like the Methodists, we'll say, are the Wesleyans. You
the
know,
Wesleyans.
John Wesley.
Yeah.
The Wesleyans and the Methodists, became the Methodists. The actual church, now again, it's one of these disclaimer notes. I'm after getting a couple of dates, but the date that I'm kind of fixing on myself now at the moment, and I hope somebody from our lovely Methodist church might correct me as well afterwards, but it was built in 1880, and with the church there was a room, we'll say a little school room as well there that can teach, and then there was a little hall as well in the back of it but this, we'll say, when it comes to the Methodist and the Wesleyan churches, it wasn't the first one. So this was 1880. John Wesley himself first came to Yall to preach in 1762.
Oh, yes.
So he was here, and he returned. He liked the place because he returned on four different occasions. And what it says here was he died in 1791. And they said it was the same year that the first Methodist meeting house was acquired. Now, where it was, I don't know. To be honest with you, no, I don't have that bit. But what it said then was it was replaced with the meeting house in 1833. And this meeting house was on a lane called Meeting House Lane.
Chapel Lane. Wesley Place.
Yes. It was the Bamba Hall. Which is a beautiful building. And can I just say hello to my sister-in-law, Frances, and Ben and family who live right across the
road.
That's their view from the front things. So the Bamba Hall is there. It's an absolutely gorgeous building. So that was kind of the second Methodist Wesleyan church, we'll say, before the...
As you mentioned, that was a meeting house.
It was a meeting... what it was they always called it a meeting house. It wasn't like a church or a chapel.
No.
So they had a kind of a meeting house, and that was it. I called a chapel there as well. But yeah, it was like... And it was called Meeting House Lane. But there was a couple of them, because we'll say on the same lane, if you actually just... come out, we'll see, of the Bamba House, walk down a small bit. You'll actually see it. If you look at the building, there was another one there, and it was called the Independent Chapel. So I think, again, if from the Protestant side, it was just a different, small little chapel. It's still, you can make it out. You can make out the windows of it.
Yeah. And it's called the Independent Chapel. My goodness.
This is now from...
And were they an offshoot?
Just offshoots,
an offshoot, offshoot of the Protestant religion at the time, or we say the Wesleyan religion, the Methodists at the time, or whatever,
They must have been close to the Wesleyan, because like they were right across their neighbours, So, but even, you just said that they're offshoots, because what it said here was in 1816, the primitive Wesleyans separated from the Wesleyan Methodists. And then they opened up, but a different place. So what they opened up a little chapel, we call it, in South Main Street. And from David Kelly's maps of y'all, I have this down as, you know where Pat Burke is down in South Main Street? Burke Auctioneers.
Auctioneers, that's right, yeah.
That would have been the primitive Wesleyan Chapel.
Oh, what is it?
No, it's either that one or next door.
Yes. Well, it's too far away from that.
Either Pat's place or the next door neighbour as well, anyway. Yeah. But, you know, we're talking about here with so many religions as well, Noel, and a little kind of story for myself as well. I always remember I was a young lad, right? Mm-hmm. And we had our uncle, I'm named after him, Father, and he was Father Michael Brooks. He was a parish priest based in California. Very big man. We all looked up to him. And I mean that literally, because he was 6'5", you know what I mean?
He was a huge man,
you know what I mean? But we still love him when he used to come home, because this guy used to ride motorbikes, because he used to speak fluent Spanish, because in California he used to go up to the hills and the villages, say mass up there, and there was no way to do with the car, so he had all scramblers and all this kind of stuff. He used to come back with just some sort of stories. It was brilliant. We used to absolutely, we're all mad about him. Unfortunately, he's dead now at the moment, so... we
probably
all miss
him
as well.
Reverend.
Reverend the bike.
Yeah.
But one of the things that always kind of struck me was he said, come on, we'll go uptown. You know, we'll go for a walk. He was down visiting. We were living in the Avonmore guest house at the time. Mm. And we were passing the Methodist church. And the gate was open, the door was open. And he said, come on, we'll go in. And I'll be honest with you, as a naive, 13, 14 year old, I thought the second I walk in the door, I'll probably catch fire and explode. because
thankfully, and we all kind of grew up with that. It was kind of bred into us that if you look sideways in at the gate of the Church of Ireland, mortal sin.
Yeah, absolutely.
But thankfully, mumbo jumbo's gone.
And I even said it to him. I remember saying it, and I says, is it okay for us to go in here? And what he said was, he said, of course it's okay. He says, we all believe in the same God, but we do it in different houses. So it's good to visit the neighbours. And you know what?
That is bang.
And I thought,
I tell you, that's a lesson that we could take today.
Everybody. And I said, go into everybody's house.
Yeah.
Be reverent when you go in there as well.
Exactly.
Just visit. And what I found was, I do it all the time. I just walk in, and if I can see anybody there, I'll go over and chat to them, about the history and all this, and they're brilliant. Everybody loves to tell about their own place as well.
Naturally.
And the neighbours are very proud of their own houses, so they like to kind of install it, the way. So definitely for everybody, just go into the different houses around the place, as we call it,
yes,
and visit your neighbours, and it's brilliant. I also actually was lucky enough afterwards as well, a friend of mine, Joe Moore, lifeboat man himself.
Oh, yes.
He was getting married, so where was in there, so we had the ceremony was there.
Mm, yeah.
And his lovely wife, Katrina, she couldn't be late that morning. She'd no excuse anyway, because she's one of the Griffins who live right next door.
Oh, well.
so if she wasn't coming in, we were going into her. So good morning to Joe and Katrina as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just the Wesleyan side of
fascinating.
For y'all,
that,
anyway,
and of course, the house long for Finbar Hannan's living. I think that was called the manse. Was that attached to it? I wonder.
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody told me that was attached to it, and then somebody else said to me, "No, this is completely different altogether."
Okay,
but
yeah.
Look.
Yeah,
you know?
I haven't.
Yeah, it was called the manse anyway. You think, you know? Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hear that no at all. No,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Again,
to be something for us to kind of look
maybe
up.
Maybe somebody, if somebody has the answer, they might give us a shout 91199 9288, or give us a text in or something like that. If anybody has any, can further enlighten us on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
We were kind of just earlier on. We were up at the Bamba Hall. We'll say up.
Yes.
At Chapel Lane as well, but obviously. St. Mary's Church is up there as well. Ash Street or Bow Street.
Bow Street.
And I suppose during the penal laws, Noel, it was not possible to construct Catholic churches. The date again I have it is 1796 for our own church.
For the parish church, as we know it, the parish, 1796.
And if you think
there
of it.
There was a Bishop Coppinger.
He was Bishop Coppinger who built the church.
And
guys, if you think of 1796, you know the way it, like the parish church still looks young. You know the way it still looks like a kind of a newish building. But if you think of it, it's less than 20 years built after the Clochgate. Because that was 1777,
yes.
This was 1796.
And so it certainly has, as regards to building, it certainly has stood the test of time.
Well, it has, and it's, you know, it's a testament. You build it in stone, that's it. You know the way
it's cast in stone. Yeah. And that was, I think, was that a quarry?
It was a quarry, Noel. You're dead right. Because,
yeah.
And, like,
because
for me,
if you walk around the back of it.
You can see it all at the back.
You can see all when the rock was hewn away. Now, I would imagine, and indeed, I got the impression that that wasn't hewn away for the church. It was probably an existing quarry, and
you see, a lot of y'all would have been kind of. And if you look at it, obviously the town walls.
Mm.
You're trying to get your source as close as possible to where you're building as well.
Oh yes, yes.
So they would have used. I would have imagined that quarry was part of. We'd say where they got the rock from the town walls. And everywhere you go, like it will say, even I did Temple Michael there as well, and the Knights Templars up in the hill, and you can actually find a little place where they quarried out the stone, you know the way it's still there, you know the way you can still see it. And that was nearly 1,000 years ago. Of course,
because like a transport of stone like was only horse and cart or mule or something like that, or on your back with a.
And if you look at the size of the town walls, there was some tonnage went up there, you know the way. So it was just absolutely fantastic. But it was just built kind of, first of all, we'll say, you know, we look at it now in front, you kind of walk in the main door, there's the big tower, the bell tower, you're walking in there.
Yes.
That was built later. That was kind of like 50 years after.
Oh, was it?
So that wasn't built with the church at the time. So we'll say, again, the church was built in 1796, but the bell tower part of it, the bit that we walk in the front door now,
was built
in 1841.
Oh, that much between.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So I always thought it was all the same building, but it wasn't. It was kind of an afterthought. There was a copper spire on the top of it, and actually if you look at a load of old photographs of y'all, the first thing I always check is the age of the photograph by seeing if the spire is on it.
Yeah.
Because the spire was removed in 1919, so we'll say kind of World War One times.
Yes.
Because it became structural dangerous, I'd say it was hit by lightning and a few other things as well.
Yes. Timber construction, I suppose. So the timbers are starting to go, so I suppose they got afraid of it.
And it's fairly high, you know, when you're up there at that side of the town.
Well, the town is high enough, like let alone a copper dome being on top of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll say, and the interior of the church, we'll say, Noel, was what to say is it's a simple classical design, you know. It's a nice way of saying it, because it is, and it's true. with a marble altar and a classical style column supporting the gallery and the roof. The present high altar, and if you look at actually the to go up to the gallery, you know, the outside steps to go up to the gallery,
yes,
they're like buttresses against, you know, they're kind of holding
that, was holding in the walls,
it was holding
in
the walls,
yeah,
as well, so it was kind of doing so, a kind of two things
yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah,
so holding in the walls and
providing stairs,
absolutely,
steps, yeah.
So, yeah, and the present altar, if you go up there now, and the altar, that was actually erected in 1886, the altar that's there now today.
Marble altar, yeah, yeah.
I hate to say it, I think they missed the trick a small bit when they were building it, if they switched it totally around. Because if you look at it, when you're facing the altar, you're facing west. If you know, and why I say this was back in the day when there was no electricity, no lighting or any of that, it must have been really dark inside in the actual church itself, because normally you'll try and face the big window. You know, you normally, like the collegial church would say, the St. Mary's down the road, the big east window, you actually go in that backwards, you know, so you have to go to the back of it,
yes,
to go into
but
it.
But of course, you see, I suppose the way they built it, and looking at it now, the entrance was straight in the front door, right, from the road. And obviously, when you walk into a church, you always walk into the back of the church, right? But they couldn't put a window, obviously, because the window wasn't looking into the back of the quarry.
That's right.
So I suppose
that's why the painting is at the back of the.
Yeah. Did they compensate by putting in the windows? Then the big windows, so many big windows down the side.
Side of it, yeah, and yeah. But even still, because.
But I agree with you. Like, you know, I suppose before the advent of gas and electricity in the town, like.
It must have been fairly dark.
It must have been a right dark little place altogether, to the truth, because a couple of candles here and there, I suppose.
And that was the main reason why normally we'll say, you know, the churches are faced east-west, because we'll say...
Take advantage of the light.
The sun rises in the east, so you normally have the altar as close to the possible as the east window.
Yes, exactly,
A bit like St. Mary's down the road, that's exactly the way it is done as well.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, because as I said, it's grand now with lights, yeah, there's no problems. But back in 1796, there was no lights, you know, the way there was candles and that
candles,
was it.
So
it was, I just would say with our own Catholic churches there, I didn't do too much because, as you can see, Noel, there's so much information about the different ones. But what I have here is Our Lady of Lourdes, or Strand Church, as we call
it. The Strand Church, yeah.
Was built in 1939. And if you think of it, that's World War II, the start of World War II. So it was it's still a fair age. It still looks a very, very new building. But that was 1939. And then the Church of
the Holy...
I think
that was originally where the Strand Church was built. That was the fair... There was a fair field. They actually had their amusements...
There, I think.
Before the church was built, and they were very instrumental in actually raising money to
That's
build
right,
the church.
You're
there
right.
as well.
No,
yeah,
I, yeah. I've read that a few times as well. In fairness to him. And then up the hill, obviously the Church of the Holy Family, that was built in 1992.
Yeah, so that was a very recent structure.
So that was that's just there. We're beside the church in St. Mary's at the moment, on Bow Street again. And we had the Quakers' meeting house.
Yes. Now, sad to see it in the condition that it's in at the moment. Because a couple of years ago, we all knew it was done up and it looked absolutely pristine. But what brought it home to me is I was passing there only the other day, actually, and there was tourists looking at it. And obviously had some interest in the Quaker movement in the old, because they were there for a while and they were looking at the plaque and the whole lot.
Yeah.
And the lady turns to me and she says, it's absolutely deplorable, she says, to see it in that condition.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a shame.
And I suppose the fact it was done up and the fact that it was, you know, there's so many people looking for houses and all that.
Well, that's true, yeah.
And it's just sitting there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just,
no. But again, I suppose, I know we digress, I suppose, from it really, but the actual historical, the historical value of it.
Absolutely, 100%. Like it's an ancient, but you see, a lot of people will say, the cottage that's there beside the church will say the St. Mary's, and the plaque is on the wall as well, but the actual meeting house is beside it, so that would have been the Quaker house, and the graveyard was behind the house as well.
So what you're saying, so is where the cottage is,
it's not the actual meeting house,
isn't it?
Yeah, so that was, and I thought it was.
I think everybody thought it was.
And
because there's a little plaque on the wall saying Quakers meeting place.
Yeah, 100%. And if you look at it again, it was David. I went through a few different places actually for this one. And David Kelly's map as well. It shows it. And I went, that's not right, you know, the end. Because where it was shown is, you know, the Carpets Club as well. The
Carnegie the Free Library.
Carnegie Free Library. Yeah. That was the actual meeting house.
Oh, was it?
So what it, because what it said was... And I'll just read this again because, guys, I'm not making this up. I get this from different places. And I looked at a few different maps and things of that as well, Noel. And especially, as I said, David Kelly's maps there as well. It shows as the Carnegie Free Hall. And what it says here was when the Quakers first came to Yall, they met in a private house. So that probably was the initial house where they used to have the meetings.
Oh, yes.
And that's what I think as well, that that house was the very first place that they used to have their little meetings.
Right.
But it grew, like the whole Quaker movement in Yall, they grew. They were brilliant people, absolutely.
Oh, so like, you know, they, only for the Quaker movement in Yall, I'm sure, like, the, you know, the story would be an awful lot different because they were absolutely brilliant during the famine.
But even, and like, they were always very good for, you know, I went over like a big child to Cadbury's because that was a big Quaker.
That was a Quaker, Cadbury's. Yeah. And Kellogg's,
They, like, what they wanted was, you know, for their staff, their employees, to have a good life. You know?
Oh, that was a model, that's a model town, isn't it?
Bourneville.
Bourneville is a model town.
We know Bourneville chocolate.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Bourneville, it was a, it's a model town built by Cadbury for his employees because he wanted parks and he wanted them...
hospitals and schools and everything. Like, he really looked after his employees.
And one of the things he brought into was a 6-day working week, which was a good thing because it was always 7 days. And he brought in for Sundays that you took out your Sunday off. Now we have a 5 kind of more or less working day. But these people were always kind of thinking about other people as well when they were doing it. So what it says, because, and that's where I think that the first house was the little white house, the one that we know. And then beside it became, we say, the actual meeting house then afterwards. Because it says... they used to meet in a private house, but later bought land to build their own meeting house in 1681. So it was a long time ago. With a graveyard to the south of the building. And according to the Quaker practices, the layout of their burial grounds were very simple. They used plain gravestones, preserving uniformity in respect of material, size, and wording and stones. Kind of reminds me of, you know, the World War One and two graveyards in France.
Yeah, exactly.
Every cross is the same.
Yeah.
And kind of that kind of brought into my mind that it was kind of like more or less the same. Now, what it says here, Noel, and this is what brings it in, was the present building is a combination of 19th and 20th century alterations and modifications. And in 1912, the building became the Carnegie Free Library, Carpets Social Club House.
True.
It's in private hands.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was
belonged to the Adairs at the moment, I think.
Because, but the Quakers themselves would say around Yall, they were brilliant because, like, the Quakers were merchants, business people who were highly respected for their honesty and, you know, industry. You know, it was all shipping in as well and all that.
Yes.
It was a very large Quaker community. Names we mentioned before, Fisher, Harvey.
Mill across the bridge there, King said the Fisher Mill.
And then the Harvey's Dock then was there. And actually, what I found here was, because we mentioned Harvey with the lighthouse, Thomas Harvey. He was fighting mad for the lighthouse. His family, actually, which I didn't realise, the family house is, you know, where Flavin's apartments are. You know, the Cal Flavin's yard, we'll call it.
Yes.
So that was the actual Harvey residence. That was their home.
Oh, yes.
So it was beside their dock.
Their dock, exactly. Harvey's dock, yeah.
They liked it as well.
Yeah.
That actually became later an RIC barracks. That was used by the RIC, the apartments.
Yes.
And if you look at inside and where Cal Flavin's yard is.
That's right,
There's an RIC ball alley. There was a funny story there because we say back in 20, I think this is from Tommy Mooney's book, The Cry to Curlew. He was saying about when the IRA at the time during the Civil War had the RIC barracks. And the Helga came in with the Free State Army and they jumped off. And the guys ran out of the RIC barracks because they knew they were outmanned, outgunned and everything like that. And what it was they left their dinner. They just had made their dinner. And the Free State Army walked in and they went, Well, you know, so their dinner was made by the IRA men, and the Free State Army ate the dinner. They said it was still
nice,
hot.
Nice. Okay, Michael, on that point, we will leave it. And indeed, as I said, I'd like to thank you very, very much for coming.
No problem. Thanks very much.
It's you've been a mine of information, I have to say, and I think that goes without saying, to tell you the truth. But we will return again for part four of this
mini series. And this is the last part, you'll be glad to hear.
The last part. It's been absolutely a fascinating journey, and indeed, we're certainly looking forward to the next installment of our little chat.
Thanks very much, Noel.